now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's Gary Parrish. It's Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and today we are continuing our conference previews in advance of the 2021-22 season. We've already done the AAC and the ACC, so now we're turning our attention to the B's, specifically the Big East, because I think the Big East alphabetically does come before the Big Ten and the Big 12. Do you agree with that, Deadleg? Does the Big East come before the Big 12 and the Big Ten, or does that numeral 12 come before the letter E?
That's right.
You messed it up.
The Big 12 stylistically technically goes first, but here we are, so we might as well just talk about the Big East.
Well, I decided I'm going to spell out all the words.
Okay.
So Big 12 starts with a T.
That's true.
E. Big Ten, also a T. Big East, that's an E. And if you put all your letters right out in front of you,
that's right,
and start from left to right, 26 of them, you're going to get to E before you get to T.
That's correct. So here we are.
E.T. Good movie from the 80s.
Indeed, a movie from the 80s. We are talking Big East. I'm smelling like a four-bid league this year. Right? Villanova clearly at the top, though. We might as well start on the Wildcats GP, because while there will be other good teams that emerge from this, and we've got our suspicions, we find ourselves in the spot again where Nova just seems to be a cut above, and some real separation from the rest of the league. It's the only, as you heard on our All-American podcast from Thursday, it's the only team represented in our All-America teams from this conference with Colin Gillespie, and might wind up even having... Maybe. We'll see. Might wind up having the two best players in Gillespie and then Justin Moore, who I wouldn't put too far behind him. But yes, it's Nova trying to get back to another Final Four, and Jay Wright fresh off a Hall of Fame induction, reestablishing what should be that program supremacy in the conference.
Yeah, I've got Villanova fifth in my top 25 and one. And the next Big East team I have is UConn. The only other Big East team I have is UConn at number 23. So that's an 18-spot difference. And no other power conference has that big of a gap between the first team and the second team in my top 25 and one. At KenPom, it is a little closer. At KenPom, Villanova's preseason 9, and UConn is 21st. So there's a 12-spot difference between first and second there. Somewhat surprisingly, at least to me, there are two power conferences with bigger gaps at KenPom between its projected first-place team and projected second-place team. Can you name them? Let's call it a trivia time.
Does this need to be a trivia time? I feel like you're getting a little too nutty with the trivia times. But okay, so power conferences are the seven...
I just start finding stuff when I'm prepping. And I get really excited. I go, that could be a trivia time.
So it's going to be Pac-12, UCLA, yep, and the gap between UCLA and Oregon, right?
Right. It's for me at the top 25 and one, it is UCLA and Oregon, but at KenPom it's actually UCLA and USC. At KenPom, UCLA is number 7, USC number 20. That's a 13 spot difference.
And then I'm inclined to say it's the ACC with Duke and then is it FSU number 2 at KenPom?
Look at you, you little genius! Duke is 10th at KenPom, Florida State 24th. That's first and second in the league, a 14-spot difference. So in the top 25 and one, I've got Duke 8th, UNC 15th, and then I've got UCLA 2nd and Oregon 16th. So that's a 14-spot difference. Again, between where I have Villanova and UConn is an 18-spot difference. Let me ask you this. If this were a Survivor game or whatever, mm-hmm, and you had to pick a conference champion from the Power 5 plus the Big East and the AAC, miss this and you're dead. Like Squid Game. Which team you picking? Villanova, Duke, UCLA, or somebody else? You got to get the conference champion right.
I'm definitely picking Villanova.
Me too.
Yeah, got it. That's just they have the strongest case. Historically, this roster, recent history, the whole deal. Yeah.
They won at least a share of 7 of the past 8 Big East titles. 6 of those are outright. They shared it in 2020 with Seton Hall and Creighton. And then they finished second in 2018 behind Xavier. And then, of course, went on to win the national title.
Yeah.
They had six double-digit scores on that national championship team. That team lost four games, but only twice when their best six were healthy and played. So they lost to St. John's, but they didn't have Eric Paschal or Phil Booth. And then they lost to Providence in that season, no Phil Booth. But the only full-strength losses that season for that Villanova team, finished 36-4, was at Butler, at Creighton, both by single digit. That team was awesome.
Yeah, I'm on record saying that's one of the five best championship teams of this century, basically. I said it in the moment at the time because of how dominant it was offensively. The Jenkins title is going to be more remembered for obvious reasons. He hits, you know, the only true buzzer beater to win it in tournament history, and we get all that, and they beat Carolina. But the team 2 years later was actually the better overall team there. This team won't be that for sure. I don't see any way how it gets really that close to that, but it's still, you and I are in agreement. You know, preseason top five standing is the fairest way to go about it. And it's because it's got Gillespie back, you know, 14-6 guy. Justin Moore averaged 13 points last season. Jermaine Samuels opted to return for a super senior season. He averaged 12 a game. That's the core. And then Brian Antoine is a former, you know, high level prospect who has not had the start to his career that Nova fans were hoping for, and some of that's due to injury. He's still going to be injured to start the season, but if he can rejoin and be a big factor there, I do think that he will. That's another reason why I put this Wildcat team on the level that I do, because traditionally you look at Jay Wright in that group and it's they always have experience, depth, they play smart, they shoot well. Wright gives those guys a lot of individual freedom on the floor. He doesn't over. If you talk to other coaches in the league and really other coaches around the sport, they'll say that Jay and his staff, they don't micromanage their players. Like within the context of a game, you don't see a lot of that. And I think that's taken a while for Wright to get to this point, but it is truly part of their culture there. And that kind of stuff can pay off. It can occasionally minorly backfire as well, but it can really pay off in the big picture. And that's why Nova has ascended to the spot it's ascended to, and it's not only one of the best programs in the country, it's that way because of the fact that he has managed to get players to buy in, for the most part, stay, and then once you get to be a junior, senior, you can really pop, and you can be part of this this amazing run that they've been going through, and I expect will continue to at least the tune of a number one, two, or three seed in March.
He also adapted to how modern offensive basketball is played probably better than anybody, and certainly earlier than most at the top of the sport. You know, spread the floor, keep it spread, shooters everywhere, let it fly. I mean, like that 2018 team would just bomb you from every position.
Yeah,
basically they could bomb you. And so he adapted to that more quickly than most. There are other guys doing it now. Nate Oates at Alabama has adapted, and is playing a modern style of basketball, but Jay was a little ahead of it. And I don't think there's any doubt that contributed to all of the success that Villanova's had for a pretty significant stretch. They really only lose two rotation players from last season, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. That's a big loss. Cole Swider, bring back four of the top five scorers. It's a team that won the Big East last season by multiple games and brings back then four of the top five. Two of them are super seniors. I'd be surprised if they don't win the league by multiple games again, although it is worth noting at KenPom, their projected league record is 14-6, and that's just a one-game advantage over UConn.
We'll see. I'd expect them to win it by multiple games, but so much of the fun of this sport is every season we get plenty of surprises, and we'll get to the big picture of the conference here in just a second. But when we start here, you know, if you're wondering who's going to be in the mix to make a Final Four, I just find Villanova to be the most likely, and then we get to a couple other teams that are obviously going to make the tournament, but they just seem to be a clear tier below.
As you could probably tell by now, UConn does appear to be the biggest threat to Villanova, if there is a threat to Villanova in the Big East. We're going to get into Dan Hurley's Huskies next, but first, check this out.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
So I've got UConn as the only other Big East team in my top 25 and one, which by definition, at least according to me, makes UConn the biggest threat to Villanova in the Big East. They're also the second best Big East team, according to KenPom. And in the official Big East poll that was released earlier this week, UConn did come in second behind Villanova. So are you in line with all that? If somebody's going to win this conference other than Villanova, it'll be UConn.
I am not in line with that. I think Ooh. If someone else is going to win, it's going to be, and this is,
Ooh.
It's going to be Xavier. Number one storyline for this year is Wright fresh off getting to the Hall of Fame, trying to make another Final Four run. I think that's the big picture storyline in the Big East. Number two for me would be Xavier and UConn tussling for number two status and clear number two status. Like, I think that those two teams are on, you know, a level to themselves before we get to the teams we're going to get to after this. I know St. John's fans, you're fired up. I like Xavier. They get Zach Fremantle and Paul Scruggs back. Those are two preseason first-team honorees in the conference. Players that are going to probably combine. I think that Fremantle and Scruggs can probably combine to average 35 a game, 35 points a game, 14 boards. Maybe not 14, but pretty close to it. You know, Scruggs is awesome. Scruggs was a 14-6-4 guy last season, and Xavier is finally getting to a point here where it's got the team. No more excuses. They haven't made the tournament. They haven't had a tournament-worthy team under Travis Steele yet. The Chris Max last season was what GP referenced to earlier when Villanova didn't win the league and Xavier did. Xavier was a one seed that season. So I say X at two, UConn just a tick behind at three. And if we think that Villanova is going to win this league by multiple games. You tell me that, you know, X and UConn wind up having the same Lee record, I'll believe you the whole way. I got a couple of thoughts on the Huskies, but I'm going to kind of volley it back to you. And you tell us why you like UConn too. And, like, do you like them, I don't know, definitively more than Xavier? Do you think it's where I'm kind of at, where it's actually a pretty close horse race once we get to March?
I think it's close. And all of the numbers, you know, the computer numbers suggest that it's close. But I would definitely put, it is clear in my mind that I would put UConn 2, Xavier 3. Xavier is a little complicated for me. I never know what to do with a team like this. Okay, they got strong computer numbers preseason. 26th at KenPom, 19th at Bart Torvik. They bring back the top eight scores. So, like, basically everybody's back.
That's right.
Three double-digit scores. The two you mentioned plus Nate Johnson. They went 13-8 last season. Finished 66th at KenPom, 6-7 in the Big East. So this is where I struggle with this. Hey, they got everybody. Yeah, but they got everybody back from a team that was mediocre. What does that mean? What does that mean? You tell me. What does that mean?
It means Kai Kai Tandy is about to bust one out here and have a huge season. That's what that means. Okay. I understand what you're saying.
No, listen, let me be clear. I think they're going to the NCAA tournament. I obviously think they're going to be better. I would have them as an NCAA tournament team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody back from a team that lost more than it won in the Big East, I have a hard time going, that's a great thing.
I bring back former Belmont Bruin Adam Kunkel, by the way. So
do like him.
Doubt at your own risk. I do understand what you're saying. I just think that this is good. I like the fact that they bring back everyone, and I do like their personnel overall, and it was a weird year. They played 21 games, many fewer than others. They had, listen, this, I'm not making excuses for them. A lot of teams endured this. They just had COVID ridiculousness hit their program multiple times, and it affected scheduling and all that stuff. So I will take Xavier over UConn narrowly, but I do think that those are the clear-cut top three. UConn, what's interesting with me with UConn is this. Like, Fremantle and Scruggs, I think, were fairly picked preseason first team. you know, Scruggs, no doubt about it, is a top five player in the league. Fremantle's right there, five or six. Either way, I don't have an issue with it. With UConn, they got a lot of really good dudes. Who's going to be the best? Is it going to be RJ Cole, who was, get this, 38.7% from two-point range and 38.6% from three. Like, he was about the same from both, and he's always been a high-volume player going back to when he played at Howard, but he has not been highly efficient. He averaged 12 points a game last season. I think he'll probably be UConn's best player, probably. But Adama Sanogo, I think, is the one who's going to pop. He had 7-5 on average and 17 minutes a game last season. Isaiah Whaley is a really, really quality player. Tyrese Martin, good forward, 10-7 guy. Tyler Polley, another fine player. Like, I actually really like UConn's defensive ceiling, right? Hurley got this team to the tournament in year three, and I think he's going to do better than sustain that, right? I think that UConn will be above a 7 seed. I put their ceiling at, say, a 4. Floor could be lower than 7. I just don't think it's likely. So mark me down for the Huskies being, say, a 5 seed once we get to the tournament. I like a lot of their pieces. Who is going to be the guy? But there's no doubt about it that they returned plenty from a team that was better than Xavier last season. So if you want to put them ahead of X, I got zero issue with it.
And that's why I would have them ahead of Xavier. You know, as we noted, Xavier brings back the top 8 from a team that was 6-7 in the Big East. UConn brings back 6 of the top 7 from a team that, you know, made the NCAA tournament, from a team that was top 30 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. They get Tyler Polley, a super senior season. They bring in 4 top 100 prospects. Now, the one loss is a massive loss. Mm-hmm. It's James Bouknight. And so they do have to figure out who's going to be the guy. And I don't think they're going to have a guy who can do that. They're not going to have somebody just come in and get the, you know, whatever, you know, 18.7 points that Bouknight averaged last year. I don't think they're going to have a guy do that. But RJ Cole, Tyrese Martin, one of them, maybe both, they need to take a leap. Like, they need to be better than they've ever been. But I don't think either one of them is going to be James Bouknight.
No, probably not. Again, a lot of really talented players there. I think the really enticing thing with UConn is, It will be a reliable defensive unit. I don't think there's too much doubt about that because of the way Hurley coaches and what this team did last season. There's a lot to build on there overall. It was a respectable defensive team, ranked top 30 in per possession defense. But I think it will grow to be top 20 level. I think. Offensively, can it get even more reliable and dynamic without Bouknight there, who they had to play some without him. Let's be fair. They had to play some without him last season. I think that will help him. I just kind of wait and see on that. But that's the top of the league, GP, as far as I'm concerned, right?
There's no question. Those should be the top 3, and all of the computer stuff backs that up as well. Circling back to Xavier real quick. I don't know how good they'll be. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be in the NCAA tournament. They do need to be good. Like, I just remember randomly throughout the season last season, like, Xavier fans would be popping into my mentions about Travis. Like, it is year 4, and, you know, I've got to do a hot seat list in a, I don't know, next week maybe, which I hate. I hate doing that. I don't know why you don't take that from me. But
I've done it in the past. I'll take it next year. We'll rotate. I'll take it next year.
Hate it. But I don't think I'm going to have Travis on it.
I wouldn't put him on it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to. But he has 0 NCAA tournament appearances first 3 years, 23-27 record in the Big East, never had a winning record in the Big East, finished 6th or worse in the league each of the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So he does need a breakthrough season, and I think the good news is that the breakthrough season is on tap. To your point about being those 3 being the clear top 3, everybody except Villanova, UConn, and Xavier, and those teams are all in the top 26, I believe, at KenPom. Everybody else is 50 or worse. So there is a gap, at least at KenPom, after those top 3, before you get to anybody else.
Some big picture look at the Big East here. So since it went to realignment with the Catholic 7, you know, convening to keep the conference name alive and all that good stuff in 13-14, it averages 5.3 NCAA tournament bids per season, and its lowest it has been four, which was last season, marked the lowest. I think it might be a four-bid league again this season. We'll see. It ranks since it has existed as you know, the fifth best conference, fourth best conference since they went to this 10-team, now 11-team league. So it'll probably be in that range again. I would lean probably toward fifth best. My other three headlines: Georgetown. What does it do with a follow-up here after making the tournament? I think by nature of being Georgetown, Patrick Ewing, they've got the preseason freshman of the year, what they do. Shaka Smart rebooting Marquette. And we'll get to these teams in a second. I just want to touch on the big headlines. And then my fifth headline, I actually think will be something that's much discussed behind closed doors. And then I would think that by the end of the season at the latest, we'll have an answer to this. And that is, will this conference expand or not? And if it does, I think there's only one candidate, is Gonzaga. You will hear Wichita State talked about as well. This is an 11-team league. I can't see it going beyond 12, and I don't think a lot of people want it to go beyond 11. But will the Big East try and get Gonzaga? Does that make sense? In some ways, yes. In many ways, no. Gonzaga probably is going to be itching to get out of the WCC now that BYU is leaving, or at least I could see why it would be itching to get out. But it might it be better if it could somehow convince the Pac-12 to let it join again? Pac-12 has football, Gonzaga does not. Or Gonzaga would obviously go as a Hoops member to the Mountain West. We'll keep an eye on that. But the Big East, certainly, make no mistake about it, it has flirted with Gonzaga in the past, and I think that those talks will at least be seriously held and are being seriously held right now. So I'll just open up a window. Before we get to the rest of the teams and my projection here, any thoughts on those three headlines, GP?
Well, like if I were the Pac-12, I think I would add Gonzaga as a all sports member. I would at least consider it all sports except football, because they don't have football. Like, you know, if the ACC can take Notre Dame without Notre Dame's football, I don't know what stops the Pac-12 from taking Gonzaga. I'm sure a conference commissioner could explain, well, there's this, and that. But I don't know if you wanted to increase your basketball brand. That's the obvious way to do it. And if you're Gonzaga, if you've got an option between the Big East and the Pac-12 to take your sports, you'd almost certainly rather go to the Pac-12.
I agree.
For other than geographic reasons.
If you're the Big East, you'd be trying to add a 12th team being Gonzaga. Because if you do that, remember, you will have soccer, volleyball, golf, all these teams. It's actually
so far away.
That's a flight, GP. Come on now.
Would you go in Providence to Spokane?
Exactly.
I mean, what?
But if you do that, if you're the reason why they're talking about it, though, is if you add Gonzaga to your conference, I mean, it's undeniable at that point. Like, you are at worst the third best conference in America for men's basketball. At worst. And you will actually have a chance in a given year to be number one or number two if Gonzaga can stay at the level it's at. So that's why, obviously, you do it. You add Gonzaga, and it brings even more relevance to your name, but it's on the other damn side of the country.
It's a big country. We live in a big country.
We do. My guess is that this doesn't happen, but I think that, you know, it's being discussed. Okay, let me roll down. Give me your thoughts. Here's how I see the leagues. Here's how I see it shaking out. Nova, X, UConn. Then I've got Seton Hall in the four spot. I think this is probably the toughest team to forecast in this conference. They are my dark horse. They've got a really good second teamer in 6-6 combo forward, Jared Roden, who averaged 15 last season. I think him and Miles Kale will actually probably combine a nice 1-2 front court duo there. They'll probably put up more than 30 a night. Bryce Aiken's health is huge. If he can be fully healthy, it's going to be a game changer. He's a Harvard transfer who has just been snake bitten throughout his entire college career. Will we have a bounce back season for Kevin Willard? He had an NCAA tournament team 5 years running until last season, which was just an average group. It went 14-13. So we'll see. I've got the Hall 4. I've got the Johnnies 5. You know, you got Champagne back, big time player. Really big time player, might be the second best player in the conference. 19-7 last season. Posh Alexander, he's fun.
That's David Koz's favorite player.
He loves him. And you know what? There's a lot of reasons to love him. He averaged 2.6 steals on top of 11 points, 4 dimes a game. Golden Gate Mike will have this team near the top in tempo. They'll get up and down the floor again. I think if you're a St. John's fan and you want to demand of your program this season that you finish in the top five of this conference, I actually think that's fair. Would you agree? Like, when you look at what they bring back coming off of last season, St. John should have a top five team in the Big East?
I think they should finish fourth in the Big East.
Okay, you like them number four.
Yeah, Jerry Palm has this as a four-bid league, Villanova, UConn, Xavier, and St. John's. Yeah, this is a year where, you know, I think Golden Gate Mike can be in the NCAA tournament, which is where he belongs, as far as I'm concerned.
He's gotten there with all the other programs he's coached before, and it does seem like only a matter of time. I think I got this as – oh, how about this? So I have this as a four-bid league this season. I've got the Hall in four. But, we'll, you know, we'll see where the Johnnies land, and I could wind up being wrong on that. I got PC, the Friars, right after that. They got big Nate Watson, 17-7 guy. He's good. A.J. Reeves is a wing around him. I think he's fine. Then you try and fill in the holes. From 2014 to 2018, Ed Cooley had – PC in the NCAA tournament every year. It's the only such five-year run in the history of that program. The Friars would have gone had we had a tournament in 2020, so they had a tournament quality team there. Now they're coming off a 13-13 season. Seems to kind of safely project as an NIT group, but we'll see. I think the Big East actually will open itself up to having a team pop and be surprising. A team I don't think that will be, but I'm going to put them where they are because of the coach is Creighton. They lost more than 80% of their minutes from last. This is just a reset, GP. They've had an NCAA tournament team in four of the previous five seasons, but they got this freshman, redshirt freshman. I'm going to try and pull this off right now. Roddy Andronikashvili? I'm going to have to work on it, but he will be one of the two or three best freshmen in the league. And so Creighton...
Do his name again.
How about you give it a go? You want to give it a go?
That dude's just going to be Roddy, as far as I'm concerned.
And then it's Andronikashvili.
Yeah, that's Roddy A.
Roddy A, there we go.
That's Roddy A.
We'll see. My bottom four, I was too high on Butler last year. Maybe I'm too low now. I got Butler next. Aaron Thompson coming back. Bo Hodges, he's injured for the time being, coming back. Bryce Enzi, good stuff. LaValle Jordan's in his fifth season. He made the dance in his first season. Butler would have gone in 2020. Clearly had the resume. We didn't have a tournament. But the bottom line here is I think BU fans haven't experienced this since 2018, getting to the tournament. It's been up and down. And he doesn't enter the season, I think, with as much pressure as, say, Travis Steele. Not a hot seat situation. But if I think Seton Hall is the toughest to project, I would put Butler number two on that. And then I finish out with Georgetown, Marquette, DePaul. Aminu Muhammad's the preseason player of the freshman of the year, in the Big East. He'll lead the way. They've got Dante Harris back, lead guard for Georgetown. I think he'll break out. They lost Qutus Wahab to Maryland after, you know, I'd love to know the story behind that, by the way. Like, Patrick Ewing, one of the best players, literally probably like a top five all-time college basketball player, a big, you know, at that, develops Qutus Wahab into one of the most improved players in the entire sport last season. What does this dude do? He transfers out to Maryland of all schools. That's a stinger. So they don't have him. Citadel transfer Caden Rice is intriguing. And by the way, there's a young man on this roster named Ryan Matumbo. Perhaps you've heard. That's pretty cool. We got G-Town just ahead of Marquette. They'll have Daryl Morcell with Marquette. Shaka's building something, but listen, you know, I'm just going to set the bar low in year one, okay? They'll probably clear it, but I got them second to last. And then the other coaching change, Tony Stubblefield at DePaul. They've got the best thing I can say about DePaul is they got a player named Courvoisier McCauley, and that can only mean one thing, GP. Pass it to Courvoisier. No. Pass it to Courvoisier. Everybody sing it now. Sing it, GP.
That's not going to be something you do ever again, is it?
Pass it to Courvoisier.
That's the biggie.
Do I have to put Patrick Ewing on a hot seat list? I don't want to. That's one of my childhood kings.
I would define hot seat in this way. If you are going into the season and you don't make the NCAA tournament, the overwhelmingly likely scenario is that you lose your job, then you're on the hot seat. If you tell me Georgetown doesn't make the NCAA tournament this year, will Patrick Ewing be fired? My answer is no. So I would say no. Don't put him on.
Then he will be omitted. This is year five, though, and he's 26-44 so far in Big East games. finished outside of the top seven in the league in three of his four seasons. Never had a winning record in league play. Obviously made the NCAA tournament last season, but that was an auto bid. That team still finished 13-13 overall, 7-9 in the Big East, 63rd at KenPom, and they are preseason number 76 at KenPom. So there's not a whole lot of reason to think year five is going to be good, which might, you know, have him under real pressure heading into year six. But this thing, it hasn't gone well. For a variety of reasons, it hasn't gone well. And it's like one of the things I actually wanted to go well. I've said this many times, like Patrick Ewing having Georgetown awesome would be awesome. It just hasn't happened.
But does have what's viewed to be the best freshman in the league. So there is some reason for some optimism. This is the best class collectively he's been able to bring in.
Can't wait to watch him play at Maryland next year.
Oh, boy. We'll see. The Hoyas have had their moments here, but they are not projected. So you and I are on the same page then, right? We're on the same page. Four bid league?
I think four bid league, more likely to be three than a five.
Ooh, I will go the other way. I'll say more likely to be five than three, but the three are going to safely be in as single-digit seeds. We'll see. I'm always intrigued by the Big East because I like to see who kind of punches up and gets within shouting distance of Villanova. And for as great as Villanova is, I'd like to see them really get pushed here. So whatever team it is, I always prefer to have big conference races be close down the stretch, and we'll see if anyone can break through.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Macy O'Teague, legend. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys for listening once again to the Island College Basketball Podcast. Middle of the dumbest pandemic of my life. It's just so dumb. Everything about it. Dumb people arguing about masks and vaccines. Got that dumb football coach in the Pac-12.
Yep.
That guy, he gave up a $15 million contract. How dumb is that? If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it. It really does help. So please go subscribe, rate it, review it. 5 stars, nice comments, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Till then. Take care.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.